Welcome, everybody, to Rounding Third Sports. I'm your host, Steve, and we're going to jump right into it. So today, we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament. So I'm a little late with getting this podcast out, but I did want to do a podcast on March Madness, on the bracket, talk a little bit about predictions, talk about how unfortunately terrible my bracket was. And I did say on the last podcast that I would talk about other types of brackets that I typically do. Now, this year I did not get a chance to do these extra brackets. I actually only did one bracket this year, which is odd for me. It's unusual. It's not normal. I usually have multiple brackets, but just due to some circumstances, I have one bracket that, like I said, is absolutely terrible. So before I talk about my bracket, I do want to go through these other brackets and what I normally do for them. So the first one is the proximity to school. And what that bracket is you base your winner solely on where they're playing and which team is located closer to that location. So for example, which I actually have to pull it up. It's all in Indianapolis this year. So pretty much the winners of every game is whichever school is closest to Indianapolis. So for Purdue, you're looking pretty good, because you're obviously there in Indiana, and then other schools based on that. So all the way up every single game. Now, in a typical year when you have games in different regions, you would do the same thing. So the winner of each game would be based on who is closest to that location. Second one is vacation destinations. Now, this one is where it gets a little diverse, because obviously my choices of vacation destinations might differ from your choice of vacation destinations. But each game you pick based on which location you would rather take a vacation to. So just looking at an example here, okay, so let's take this one for example. We had in the first round, we had Virginia against Ohio. So would I rather go to, I need to use one where I can think of where they actually are on the top of my head. So hold on. Let's look at, I am not even thinking about it right now. Okay, here we go. We can do Clemson Rutgers. All right. Clemson Rutgers played in the first round. So Clemson, South Carolina, Rutgers is there in New Jersey. So which location I would prefer to take a vacation. And Clemson, South Carolina does sound a lot better than New Jersey. So, I would pick Clemson based on that situation. And obviously I would have got that wrong. And all the way up to the national championship, that's how you would pick it. Geographical advantage. Oh, I'm sorry. I explained that wrong. So the proximity to school is your individual location. I'm sorry. I explained that completely wrong. So the bracket for proximity to school is your location, whatever location you're in. So I'm here in Ohio, Southwest Ohio. So I would pick the game. I would pick each game based on which school is closest to Southwest Ohio. So obviously my final four, I would have Ohio State there. I would have, let's see, let's go through here. So most likely it would have been West Virginia out of that bracket. There's not a lot of Ohio schools actually in this bracket. So it looks like actually Michigan would make it based on this to the Final Four. And then the top bracket would be Ohio University. So I would have had a Final Four of Ohio University. I said West Virginia, but yeah, West Virginia. So it'd be Ohio University, Ohio versus Michigan, and Ohio State versus West Virginia. So obviously, three of those teams are out. So that wouldn't have worked. All right, then the geographical advantage bracket would be based on the proximity to where they're playing. So Gonzaga against Norfolk State, the winner would be whoever is closest to Indianapolis, and so on all the way through. So that's the third one. The fourth one is the weighted coin flip. And this one is one of my favorites, even though it does take a little bit of time. So for the weighted coin flip, it's literally a flip of a coin, but it's not just your typical heads is one team, tails is the other, and it's flipped once. So for a weighted coin flip, let's take the number one versus number 16 seed. So for the number one seed to win, you just have to flip that one time and land on heads. Whereas for the 16 seed to win, you would have to flip tails 16 times before you flip the heads for the one. All right. So obviously the higher seeds, the better seeds realistically should be advancing. Now I have had brackets in the years past where I've done this, where I've had 11 seeds win, and you know those lower seeds upset. It does happen. Obviously, it's a flip of a coin. So that one is a little fun. It's a little tricky because it does take time because you're doing that for every single game. So it gets a little long, but it is fun to me. All right, the fifth one is the U.S. News and World Report academic rankings. You go to Google, type that in, U.S. News and World Report academic ranking, and each game, the winner is whoever is ranked higher in that academic report. All right, and then the last one is the football AP final rankings. You go to the final AP rankings for college football, and that's how you pick the winner. So obviously, if you have a game like Gonzaga, Norfolk State, a little more difficult because that's not D1 in football. So that I have actually never done that one. This is the first year I saw that as a recommendation. So I don't think that one would work very well just because we have like your Winthrops, your North Texases, your Gonzagas, your Drakes, you know, teams like that, Eastern Washington, that they wouldn't be in that poll. So it's a little harder to do that one. But other than that one, the other five are typically, like I said, I do every year, except this year and last year. So I've actually have not done them in 2 years. So 2019 would have been the last time I did any of those. All right, let's talk about this bracket, and the chaos that it has caused. So going through, just, I'm going to be upfront. My final four in the first 2 days, I lost three of my final four teams, including one of my championship game teams, which was the team I picked to win it all. Now, when I say this, people are going to say, oh, you're a homer. Oh, you did it because that's your school, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I was not sold on picking Ohio State as the champion until going to work that morning, driving to work. I was listening to ESPN, as I do many mornings when I drive to work. And I was listening to, I think I was listening to Mike Greenberg on his show. And he had somebody on, I can't remember who now, but he had somebody on that literally talked me right into Ohio State winning it all. I mean, he had me convinced when I was done with that, with listening when I got to work and then when I picked my bracket. But even if I would not have picked Ohio State, my number two team that I was going to pick lost in the first round or lost in the second round. So it didn't really matter. So my final four was Gonzaga, Texas, and then Ohio State, Illinois. So obviously Texas got upset first round by Abilene Christian. Ohio State got upset first round by Oral Roberts. And then Illinois got beat in the second round, upset by Loyola Chicago. So a rough start in my first 2 days. But, and then losing three of my final four and half of my championship, including my champion, means this bracket is trash. It is trash. But looking through here, I try my best to find that team that's going to be the upset team. I do. And I feel like every year when it's all said and done, I have a quarter of the bracket, one region of the bracket that is absolutely terrible. And this year it's the East region. Just in the first round alone, I only had three correct teams that I picked to win the first round. That's Michigan, Florida State, and Alabama. So I picked UConn. They got upset by Maryland. I picked Texas. They got upset by Abilene Christian. I picked BYU. They got upset by UCLA. My upset pick was Georgetown, and they got smacked by Colorado. And then the other one that I changed, so the upset that I changed, actually that is the one I changed, was Georgetown. Yeah, I flipped them. I originally had Colorado over Georgetown, and I had Oregon State over Tennessee, and last minute I flipped the two, and I picked Georgetown to win, and I picked Tennessee to win. And of course, Colorado beats them. Oregon State upsets Tennessee, so I would have had two additional picks there had I not changed my initial thoughts. In the West region, I only missed two in the West region, and that was Virginia getting upset by Ohio, and I picked Drake to upset the winner of the play-in game. No, that's not right. I picked the winner of the play-in game to upset USC, and that was because I thought that Wichita State, I believe Wichita State played Drake, and I thought that they were going to be able to upset USC. Didn't happen, and here we are. So going over to the South region, I missed four out of this one, so not that great, but I picked Winthrop to upset Villanova. I picked Purdue. They got upset by North Texas. Virginia Tech lost to Florida, and of course Ohio State got beat by Oral Roberts. And then in the Midwest, I actually only missed two in the Midwest too, so I didn't pick the upset. Syracuse, I picked San Diego State, and same thing with Tennessee, Oregon State. I had Tennessee going. So as it has progressed, I don't know. This is just a rough bracket. There's not much really to go on here. I never would have, I mean, just look at this. So 64 teams, so it's 32 games. We've got 1. Actually, there was only one upset in the West region, and that was Ohio. But there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If we want to count 8, 9 seeds, 10 upsets in the first round out of 32 games. 10 upsets. That's crazy. We had a 15 seed, obviously, win. We had a 14 seed, Abilene Christian. We had a 13 seed in Ohio. Two 13 seeds, because North Texas also won. Do we have 1 or 2 12 seeds? We had 1 12 seed win this year. So that, I remember when that was the big upset pick, was the 12 seeds. Now we're going into 13s and 14s and all that. It's crazy. And then a few 11 seeds won. Actually, 2 11 seeds won. So a lot of upsets there in the first round. And yet, the top three teams are still there. Gonzaga's still there. Baylor's still there. And unfortunately, Michigan is still there. Here's to hoping Florida State can pull off that upset this weekend. But we've got 2-1-5 matchups. We've got a 1-4 matchup. We have a 3-15 matchup, a 6-7, a 2-11, actually 2-2-11 seeds, and then an 8-12 matchup in the Sweet 16. So Houston is the saving grace in the Midwest. If they lose, then it's going to be an 8 seed or lower coming out of that region. The East region, you still have three of the top four teams. And then in the West, you had the 1, 5, 6, and 7. So unless Gonzaga runs it, you're going to have a lower seed there. And then same thing in the South. You have a 1, 3, 5, and a 15. So I'm honestly hoping now that Oral Roberts can pull off the upset. I would love to see a 15 seed go to the Elite Eight. And honestly, I'd love to see a 15 seed make it all the way to the Final Four. That would be neat. That would be something that has never been done. So that'd be pretty cool to see. Unfortunately, it came at the expense of my Buckeyes, but March Madness, it is what it is. As my dad always said, any team can, how did he say it? Basically, he said that anybody could be beat on any given day. And March Madness is the truth of that statement right there. So we'll see what happens. The games start back up on tomorrow. So tomorrow we have Houston-Syracuse. We have Loyola-Chicago against Oregon State. We have Arkansas versus Oral Roberts. And we have Baylor versus Villanova. That is not tomorrow. That is Saturday. Yes, Saturday. So the Sweet 16 is Saturday and Sunday. The Elite Eight is on Monday and Tuesday. This schedule is just really weird. So by Tuesday night, we will know who our final four teams are. So just to give you an idea of where my bracket ranks, I'm at a 61% currently. 350 points based on ESPN's their rankings, their scores. And I am ranked 5.7 million. That might be the worst I've ever been ranked. I'm not sure. Just for comparison, though, I can go back and look at if my internet will work. There we go. I can go back and look at 2019s. Yeah, I can look at 2019. So let's see. Here's my best bracket here. In 2019, I was ranked 701,000. I had a percentage of 96%, including picking the champion of this bracket. So my final four, I had two of the four. Let's see. One of my teams got upset in the second round. And my other one also got upset in the second round. So after the second round, I lost half of my championship. But the other two both made it to the final four. And then my champion, obviously won. So the upsets that year, I won't stay here too long. I picked the wrong upsets, of course. Yeah, every upset I pick, I actually picked wrong. So that one was, except for one. So just a little comparison there of what it looks like. All right, so they re-ranked the Sweet 16. Not officially, but they took the 16 teams and they ranked them. So let's look at this. So, and I will give my new predictions. So just like ESPN gives second chance brackets, I will give my thoughts on the second chance brackets. My picks. So I did make multiple brackets for the second chance, since I didn't get a chance to in the first one. But yeah, I made multiple, so we will go through and see that if my phone will load it. There we go. All right, so number 16, they have Oral Roberts. Number 15 seed, it makes sense. Now, let's look at this, though. Oral Roberts has beaten the number two Buckeye, number two seed Buckeyes, number seven seed Florida Gators. Now, Oral Roberts guard Max Abmas led all of Division One in scoring this season at 24.2 points per game entering the tournament. And he's outscored that in both games so far. He's a 6 foot, he's also has a, one of his teammates is a 6'8 junior forward, Kevin. And if I mispronounce these names, I'm sorry, but Kevin O'Banner, who put up a double-double against the Buckeyes and the Gators. So 30.11 rebounds against Ohio State, 28-11 against Florida. So I wouldn't sleep on them at this point. Arkansas is a good team, and I'll talk about them here in a few minutes, but I would not discount Oral Roberts pulling off yet another upset. At number 15, they have Creighton, a number five seed. So again, thinking about this, the 16 teams that are left, Creighton is who they put there, put here. So this is the first time since 1974 that they've made it to the Sweet 16. And now they get Gonzaga next. They squeaked by UC Santa Barbara in the first round. And then they coasted. They beat Ohio pretty handily. Junior point guard Marcus Zagorowski is their main player, and he has some shooters around him. But the question is, can they get enough stops on defense? Their defense is the question. And against a Gonzaga team, you're going to need defense. I don't think there's any way outside of some strange situation where Creighton pulls off the upset here. All right, number 14, they have a number 11 seed, Syracuse. So, man, and this first statement they put on here is very true. Why does it always seem like Syracuse is at its best when they have a double-digit seed? So I think back to years past where Syracuse was a number 11 seed or a number 12 seed, where they made deep runs in the tournament. They still live and die by that zone defense. They upset number six seed San Diego State and the number three seed West Virginia. So Coach Boeheim's son Buddy is their breakout star. So far in the two games, he's combined for 55 points, including 13 three-pointers combined. This is the third time in the last five tournaments that Syracuse has made the Sweet 16 with a double-digit seed. So good to know there. They do have Houston next, and that could be a good game. That should be a good game. It'll depend on how Houston plays against the zone, really. And that's the big thing with all teams that face Syracuse. How can they – Jim Boeheim and Syracuse, they are known for that zone defense. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes off. All right, at number 13, we got another 11 seed in UCLA. So UCLA really fought back to get into the tournament. They were out, considered in the first teams out for a long time. They lost their last four games before Selection Sunday, so they probably shouldn't have even been in. And yet here we are, they're in the Sweet 16. So first four, they beat Michigan State. Then they upset number six seed BYU. And then they beat number 14 seed Abilene Christian in the second round. So UCLA has a pair of 6 foot six shot makers. Johnny Juzang from Kentucky transfer. And then Jamie Jaquez, or however you pronounce his name, They've got a big man in the wing that also are strong players as well. They don't – yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. UCLA plays at a slower pace than most teams, so it'll be interesting to see how they face off against the next team. Who do they play? Alabama. Yeah. So they play Alabama next. All right, at number 12, we got a number 5 seed in Villanova. I gotta get through this before I take my break. Actually, I'll probably just go through and then I'll continue this after the break. But so number 5 seed Villanova comes in at 12. This is not the Villanova team that we have come to know and expect. They have a season-ending injury to their point guard. And yet here they are, and they're winning decently, but I don't see it. I don't see it. They've got Baylor next. Baylor is a very good team, and I don't see Villanova being able to compete here. Number 11, actually, they have the number 3 seed, Arkansas. So they don't rank Arkansas very high here. We will have to see what happens, but Arkansas has to face off against Oral Roberts next. So they're going to need their players to step up. They've got a potential NBA lottery pick in Moses Moody. And then Indiana transfer Justin Smith also on the wing to help them out. So if they get by Oral Roberts, they then go up against Baylor. So I feel like some people might already be looking past Oral Roberts for Arkansas and already picturing Baylor against Arkansas. I don't think I can write off on that yet. I'm not convinced that Arkansas can beat them. Or talking about Oral Roberts, I really don't. I don't know that they can. Coming in at number 10, we have the number 12 seed, Oregon State. Another team that has pulled off upsets. They blew out Tennessee and then knocked out Oklahoma State, who has potential number 1 overall draft pick in the NBA draft, Cade Cunningham. So Oregon State, a surprising team that's making a deep run. They've got Loyola Chicago next, who is a Cinderella team in and of itself. So, again, there's a lot of teams that a lot of these games I really can't put a stamp of approval on. Now, when I go through this bracket here in a few minutes, I'll discuss a little bit about who are the locks and who are the upset potentials. But there's a lot of games that I can't really say without a shadow of a doubt. All right, let me get through this last team and then I'll take a break, come back, we'll finish the top 8 and then we'll move on. So number 9 is Oregon, number 7 seed. I don't know a lot about this Oregon team. I know they're a small team. They don't have a lot of depth, but they were able to upset Iowa and Luka Garza, who is potentially going to be the player of the year. They are a slow-paced team, which seems to be a theme here with the Pac-12. And now they play another Pac-12 in USC, so that could go either way. All right, I'm going to take my break. When I come back, we'll talk about the top 8 teams in the draft, and then I will give my locks, my upset picks, and we'll continue through talking about this bracket. So I will be right back. All right, we are back. So we're going to continue on with the re-ranking of the Sweet 16. We're ranking the teams in order from 16 all the way to 1. These are not my specific rankings. I will talk about my picks on these remaining games here in a minute. But I did want to look through this. Basically, I wanted to do this so I could talk about the teams a little bit more in detail. So coming in at number eight, the number two seed Houston Cougars. Now this one, I'll tell you this right now, I don't agree with it. I don't think Houston is the eighth best team left. I think they're a lot higher on this team. Just glancing down through here, there are three teams easily I could see that they are ahead of. Well, four teams, really, that they are ahead of. I think Houston should be around that number four ranking right this moment. So they did have a close game against Rutgers in the second round, but pulled out that victory. They do have a very real shot, and I agree with this. They have a very real shot at the Final Four coming out of that bracket. I don't think – I mean, in that bracket, you have your 1, 2, 3, and 5 seeds left. But after that, you have your 8, your 11, your 12, and your 15. So that bracket is a – that region is a toss-up, literally. Houston is a three-point shooting team. They use a three-guard lineup. So Quentin Grimes, who is a known name among two others. And then they have the number 7 overall offense and number 12 overall defense in all of Division I. So while they do have to face that Syracuse zone defense that I talked about earlier, they should be able to handle that pretty easily. All right, coming in at number 7, we've got the number 6 seed USC Trojans. So they blew out Drake. No shock there. I know I talked about how I picked that play-in team to upset USC. That's just due to my lack of research. Drake had no business being in that game. They shouldn't have been considered to win that game. And then USC upset, easily upset, number 3 seed Kansas. So very exciting time there for USC. As I mentioned with the other two Pac-12 teams, both Oregon and UCLA, USC does play slow. So the interesting thing here is that USC, Oregon will play each other in this next round, and they both have a slow pace to their game. So that could be a kind of a boring game to watch, to be honest with you. But it'll be interesting to see how it turns out against each other. So USC's freshman Evan Mobley is right now projected as a number 2 overall pick in the draft for the NBA. He's a shot blocker who has, according to this report, impressive vision and passing ability on offense. He also has an older brother who has been on fire offensively during the tournament run too. And they have another player that provides some very much needed shooting for that team. Coming in at number 6 is Florida State, the number 4 seed. This is the third straight time in the Sweet 16 for Florida State. So I remember growing up, Florida State was not a team that was known for their basketball. They were kind of an easy stepping stone for teams. And now they are a number 4 seed, three straight years in the Sweet 16. And now they get to play number 1 seed Michigan in this next game. So that'll be a definite challenge for them. They have the ability to pull off the upset, and I'll tell you in a minute if I think they'll do it or not. All right, number 5 is Alabama. So this is just – it's unusual hearing those words when you're talking about basketball, because just like Florida State is not known for their basketball, Alabama is not a basketball school. They are a football school. But this season they've been ranked very high most of the season, ranked top 10. And have been very surprising. So they have an elite defense that they've used and a modern approach to offense is what this report says. So they did have a tough matchup against Iona, led by Rick Pitino in the opening round, and then had an easy win over Maryland in the second round. Their coach is potentially going to be coach of the year. Considered as the best coach left in the tournament, potentially. And could vary, could possibly make the Final Four. I would not doubt that. Led by Jaden Shackelford and John Petty, both are shot makers. SEC Player of the Year, Herb Jones, is a good defender, as well as he does provide opportunistic scoring. And then they do have a deep bench. So the only team that is better defensively than Alabama, efficient, and talking about efficiency, is Loyola Chicago. So this year could be their potential to match their football greatness with basketball. Coming in at number four is Loyola Chicago, number eight seed to the Ramblers, who just a couple of years ago made that Cinderella run to the Final Four. Obviously, they're well known now. And then coming in eight seed, they ended up upsetting number one, Illinois. So they're definitely not a sleeper. They still have two key players from the team that made that Final Four run just 3 years ago. So 2018 is when they made that run. And Cameron Crutwig and Lucas Williamson both come from that team. They are, as I just mentioned, they're number one in defensive efficiency in the entire country. And now they face the number 12 seed Cinderella team in Oregon State. So, interesting matchup. I think Loyola easily will win this one and could potentially make the Final Four. I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about that in a minute. Coming in at number three, no surprise with the final three teams. Number three is Michigan. While they don't have Isaiah Livers, they do still have Hunter. What is his name? They actually don't. Oh, yeah, Hunter Dickinson. There it is. So Hunter Dickinson, Franz Wagner, Eli Brooks, Mike Smith, all are good players. And even without their best player, they were able to upset, or not upset, they were able to knock off LSU, to beat LSU and continue on. So good potential still there. Number two, Baylor. Again, no surprise here. Easy pathway so far. Jared Butler, Davion Mitchell, as well as Maceo Teague. They have the most accurate three-point shooting team in the country. Facing off against Villanova, who is really no challenge to them. Now, interesting note here that in the regular season, Baylor was supposed to play Gonzaga, but the game was canceled because of a failed COVID protocol. So, interesting that these two teams, who have been number one and two for most of, if not the entire year, could end up facing off in the championship. And that leads us to the number one team, which still is Gonzaga. 28-0, they're undefeated. You can't argue this one. Four wins away from the first perfect season since Indiana did it in 1976. And they say, what more do we need to say? There's not much. Jalen Suggs, a future top three pick. Corey Kispert is a dangerous shooter. Drew Timm, they say, is the most underrated center in the country. They've been blowing out teams all year. Again, the one thing I do say about this, and I would have to let me look here. But the one thing I say about this, it's the same thing I say about in college football, the group of five, is the division that you play in, the conference that you play in. However, Gonzaga has wins against Iowa this year by 11, including against player of the year candidate Luka Garza. They beat Kansas by 12. They beat Virginia by 23. They beat BYU three times. They beat West Virginia by five. So it's a little different in college basketball because of the fact that these teams do play somewhat tougher non-conference games. There's a lot of tournaments in the early part of the season where these top teams play each other. So it is a little different than football. However, – I don't know. I don't know. My opinion on that is different than a lot of people. But I can't argue with their resume this year. Now, if their resume would have been filled with teams like Vanderbilt, Minnesota, you talk about teams like TCU. If that was their non-conference schedule, then okay, I could talk a little bit more about how they don't play anybody. Or if they just played all teams like Drake, you know, those mid-major schools or low-major schools, that'd be different. But looking at their resume, I can't argue it. They're 28-0 with still beating those good teams. So they are proving me wrong, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being proven wrong. All right, let's talk about the second chance bracket, the Sweet 16, what is left, and I'll give you my picks. All right, so looking here first, let me give you – I really wanted to give you my upset pick, and I was excited. I thought for sure I would have a guaranteed upset. I'll say this, if Oregon State was not in this game, my upset pick would be Loyola Chicago. But – because Loyola Chicago is ranked higher, is a higher seed than Oregon State, I can't call that my upset pick. But looking at these games, I don't have a lot for you in terms of upset. I would love to tell you that my upset lock would be Oral Roberts. I'm just not, as much as I want to see it, I'm not 100% sold. I think Arkansas is a decent team. I think they could beat them, so I don't want to give you that. My lock, I'm telling you, you can lock down these two games right now, and if I'm wrong, so be it. And I'm avoiding the top two teams being Gonzaga and Baylor, just because I could see it where. Those two could face off in the championship. But my upset or my locks are actually going to be the number two seeds. So I'm locking in Alabama over UCLA, and I'm locking in Houston over Syracuse. Those are my picks that I'm telling you. I think those are the picks to make for this round, for the Sweet 16, to make it to the Elite Eight. To round out my picks for the rest of it, Gonzaga over Creighton. That feels like a no-brainer. My pick for the next one, USC Oregon. It's a toss-up. I'm going to go with USC in this one. Michigan Florida State. As much as I hate it, I'm going to pick Michigan. I just gave you my lock of Alabama. Baylor over Villanova. I don't think Villanova is good enough to compete here. Baylor moves on. Arkansas and Oral Roberts is literally a coin flip. Arkansas averages 82.4 a game. Oral Roberts averages 81.8. BPI rankings are off the charts. Arkansas ranks 14th. Oral Roberts ranks 155th. When you look at the big games, actually, Arkansas beat Oral Roberts earlier in the season by 11. So I can't pick it. And I'm pretty sure in the few brackets I just made for my second chance brackets, I picked each of them in different brackets. So that one's a toss up. Flip a coin to pick that one. Yeah. I don't think either team gets past Baylor. So there you go. Loyola Chicago, I already said that would be my upset lock if they were playing a lower seed or a higher seed, but they're playing Oregon State. And then Houston is my lock. So in the Elite Eight, yeah, I think this one right here is going to be my main bracket. and I hate it. I hate that this is my main bracket, but it is. All right, so Elite Eight, so that gives me Gonzaga against USC. I'll take Gonzaga. I don't think USC is big. This is where once we get to the Elite Eight, I think things finally start to level themselves out, where we get the matchups that we expect. I think Gonzaga beats USC. Michigan against Alabama, I'm telling you, that's another coin flip. I could take either team. I wouldn't be sad about it, but I think I take Michigan to go to the Final Four. Baylor, Oral Roberts, as much as I would love to pick Oral Roberts, and Oral Roberts is who I picked in this one, just in case you were wondering. That was my coin flip pick. But I don't think they can get past Baylor. And then Houston, Loyola, Chicago, as much as I would love to pick Loyola, Chicago, I just can't. I can't. And I'll show you. You'll know why here in a second. But Houston wins that one. All right, Final Four. I've got 3-1 seeds and a 2-seed. It's probably not the best idea, but here it is. Gonzaga against Michigan. I hate this. I don't like doing this. I just don't. But the only way to get the outcome that I am picking, I have to go with that team up north. And I hate it. I'm mad at myself because I'm doing this. And then Baylor, Houston, I'm picking Houston for the upset. And that gets me to my championship, where I am picking the University of Houston. Haha. Did I trick any of you? Did any of you really expect me to pick that team up north? I can't do it. I can pick them to get there, but I'm not picking them to win it. It's not happening. But I would love to see the University of Houston win the national championship. That would be outstanding. I really would. I'd be happy to see that. If I had to pick another team to win it, listen, it has been 1976. It's been 45 years since we've had an undefeated team. Talking about from all the way through. I don't think that changes this year. As good of a team as Gonzaga is, I just don't think it happens. And so if I'm picking another team besides Houston to win it all, I would have to go with Baylor. I would have to go with Baylor. So, that's what we'll go with. And we'll see if I'm right on this one or if I'm just as wrong as I was in my main one. This is a lot of fun. I will say this. I absolutely love March Madness. It is a lot of fun to make the predictions and to look at all that. So we'll see what happens. Let me know. I'll put a post on my Instagram, Rounding Third Sports. I'll put a post on there asking for your picks. If you haven't already, go on there, follow me. I do try to put some posts on there throughout the week. And I'll get something on there regarding the March Madness, and so you have an opportunity to let me know what you think. Let me know who you're picking. Let me know who your original Final Four was. I would love to hear that, and hopefully somebody out there has a bracket as broken as mine. But hopefully there's somebody out there that's got a bracket still looking good, a Final Four maybe that's still looking good. So let me know. Message me on Instagram. Comment on a photo. Like a photo. If you can figure out how to message me on here, message me on here, on Anchor, sorry, on anchor.fm. You might be able to message or comment through Spotify, but let me know what you think. Give me your opinion. Who's your Final Four? Who was your original Final Four? If you're making a second chance bracket, who's your new Final Four, including your champion team? Who's your pick? Who you got? How bad or how good is your bracket right now? And here's a good question. Do you do any additional brackets outside of your main brackets? Do you already do one of those ones I listed? Is there another one that you do that you enjoy doing? I'm always looking for new ways to do a bracket. So let me know what you do. I'd love to hear different options, different ideas. And if I get some, I'll mention it on this podcast. We'll talk about it. So that's going to do it for this episode. I'm going to do something a little different because I know it's been almost 2 weeks since I put an episode out. So this one is going to go live immediately. And I'm actually going to put out a second one. So we're Thursday night right now that I'm going to put this one out. I'm going to have another one go out Friday. Or I'm sorry, I'm going to have another one go out Saturday, as I normally would. So by Saturday at 3, there will be another episode that'll go live. And we'll get back on track with getting these recorded and talking about the world of sports. So come back and listen to this one. Let me know what you think. Come back Saturday. I'll have another new one for you. We'll talk the NBA trade deadline. We'll talk opening day. We're a week away. We'll talk about the starting pitchers. We'll talk about NFL free agency. And yeah, we'll have fun with it. We'll look at all the changes in landscape. Things are changing all over the sports world. Players moving here and there, and we'll discuss it. So until next time, have a good night, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Again, anchor.fm, Spotify, Instagram, Rounding Third Sports. Let me know what you think. Like my page. Follow me. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you think. And I will be back on Saturday with another new episode. Have a great night. Thanks for listening.